Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire. This is the official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, Super Bowl's upon us. I think we could, I don't know if we could say that or not. We probably get fined. No. Don't they go after anybody who uses that terminology?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Big games on Sunday. Here we are on Thursday as our normal podcast recording day. And we're here to talk about whether or not the Lions will be able to get there one day. And as of right now, it's not looking too promising, but hopefully we have a long life ahead of us. Where we're going to start, we're going to talk about the Senior Bowl, do a little review of that. But first, we have some more player changes, and we have a staff announcement that was made. So that's where we'll start. They have signed, or reportedly signed, Tyrone McKenzie to be the new linebacker coach.
Yeah, so McKenzie was drafted by the Patriots in 2009, and Matt Patricia was the defensive coordinator at that time, so they were familiar with one another. He played in that system for 2 years. ACL cost him his first year. Was practice squad player the second year. He didn't really make his name until he ended up in Minnesota. So he went to Tampa after New England, then he went to Minnesota. Played. That's where he got most of his notoriety, in Minnesota. But he ended his NFL career relatively early. I guess that's what a lot of players end up ending their career after 3 or 4 years, right? And he started coaching. He ended up at Colorado as like a graduate assistant with the linebackers. Then he went to Stanford for a year. And then after just a year at Stanford, the Los Angeles Rams called him up, and they made him a special teams assistant. He was with the Rams for a year, and then when Mike Vrabel was hired in Tennessee, Mike Vrabel then brought him over to coach their inside linebackers. So it's a very steep ascension to the NFL coaching ranks, which is a tribute to like how well he coaches players for him to be able to rise at that pace. You know, a lot of the coaches that are like in ancillary roles with Lions and other NFL organizations, they've been doing this for years. He's 4 years in, and he was already like 2 years of NFL experience. So he had a very quick rise, and I think a lot of that is because of his coaching style and his ability to be successful. So he was with the Titans the last 2 years, and when the Titans completed their playoff run in the AFC Championship, he then became available. Or he was still technically under contract with the Titans, but talked to Patricia. From what we're hearing, he talked to Patricia. Patricia offered him, we don't know exactly what the role is, but some sort of incentives to leave Tennessee to come over to the Lions. And Tennessee didn't necessarily want him to leave, but they did part,
amicably.
Yes, thank you. So Tennessee fans were pretty upset that he left. The media really liked him, had nothing but good things to say about him. So all in all, it looks like a very good signing for the Lions. McKenzie is very hands-on. He is creative in finding ways to get his players to communicate. One of the things he did last training camp in Tennessee was he took the linebackers to a paintball. And then he didn't allow them to game plan and just said, okay, go, and you have to communicate on the fly. And then he was able to associate that
crazy wacky fun coach.
But like there's a video of him from last training camp where he's having them work on tackling technique, but he's not using a dummy. He's having them literally tackle him, like, so that, because he can feel if they're doing it right or wrong, right? He's only 30. Early 30s, 36, 34, something like that. So he's still really young in the grand scheme of things. And it helps him connect with players. And it looks like a very good situation moving forward. The oldest linebacker on the Lions roster right now is
Jared Davis. No.
Christian Jones at 28.
34.
So he's only 6 years older than Christian Jones. And he's, 10 years older than Tavai, who was,
Michigan
your rookie
State
last year.
University.
He started at Michigan State and then left Michigan State And he went to a couple different colleges, ended up landing at Temple, and was drafted in the third round out of Temple. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do because, you know, like I said, a lot of energy and good things wherever he goes so far. And while he is young, he was a contender to replace Drew Pease, the Titans defensive coordinator.
Dean Pease,
thank you. Pease retired. And McKenzie was one of the guys that they were considering for the promotion. I think they went a different direction. And because they went a different direction, he was like, okay, I'm going to open my options then to other people. And I think that's, this is just me speculating on this, but I think that may have been what led him down the path to the Lions here.
All right, so Javon Willis. What does the podcast think of the Tyrone McKenzie hire? Should be optimistic about the Lions linebackers group being more than mediocre in 2020. You know what? Yes, we should be more optimistic. They can't go anywhere but up at this point. They've been so terrible. But, I don't know what to think. Exactly. It's a meteoric rise. If you can get through to Jared Davis, well, then it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think I painted a pretty optimistic picture when I was describing him. So I'm with you. I think there's potential, and his history says He can make an impactful group out of the linebackers.
All right, David Alexander asks, does his hire help the Lions acquire any talent from Tennessee?
The Titans have two main free agents that I think the Lions would be interested in. One's Logan Ryan, the cornerback. He made a lot of money playing cornerback under Matt Patricia in New England. When he left New England, he got a nice contract from Tennessee. That contract has now expired. That connection, the McKenzie hire, wouldn't necessarily help Logan Ryan other than just a familiar face, but Logan has more of a history with Patricia. But where I think it will help out is with one of their Jack linebackers / Sam linebackers, Camille Correa.
Kamale Correa.
Kamale, is it Kamale? Yeah, there you go. That's good. Correa.
Correa.
Gotta
watch more baseball.
Jeez, oh, Pete's. Yeah, he's Hawaiian. I should be better at that name, but I'm not, obviously.
That's right, as a former resident of the state of Hawaii.
He is a unique player in that he can play off the ball and play the edge. He, in a lot of ways, is what they want Christian Jones to be, but isn't. He has legitimate pass rushing chops, but he can also play off the ball. In a lot of ways, he's very similar to Josh Uche from the Wolverines in this draft class. He is somebody I think that he will have some familiarity with McKenzie, could give them an inside leverage into getting him. He would fit in very nicely. That's the name Correa that you need to keep an eye on in free agency.
Be great if I'm all confident about knowing these names and I'm horribly wrong.
Well, I'm not confident, and that's a big flaw of mine. So,
are there any other coaching hires the Lions are looking to poach after the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. I don't know if I could pick out someone that they would necessarily bring in. There's not a lot of connections on San Francisco to the current Lions staff.
Just players-wise.
Yeah. And, I mean, and there's former Lions coaches, but, again, not connected
to
the
staff. And a former Lions general manager.
Yeah. And so that's we're talking about San Fran there. As far as the Chiefs, though, I don't think there's any real strong connection to any of the coaches, at least that I can see on the surface. So I don't know. I don't think there is. I want to say no.
All right. Folding it into the question, could the Lions promote from within for the remaining spots? Why do you think they're screwing around and not finishing this all off?
So they had four assistant coaches, quality control coaches, assistant coaches, filling in at the Senior Bowl. And I think, obviously, McKenzie was a guy that they were targeting. That's one of the reasons they waited on the linebacker. But it could be that they're promoting within. We've talked for a while about Steve Gregory, the defensive assistant. possibly getting a promotion to defensive backs, and then that would only leave tight ends coach. So maybe they gave Ben Johnson a tryout at the Senior Bowl and said, hey, win us over, Ben, and if you can't do it, we're going to find somebody else. Could have been an audition for Gregory, too. You know, we like you. We think this is what we want to give it to you. Show us at the Senior Bowl that you can do it, and then maybe we'll promote you up. Now, the McKenzie hire hasn't officially happened yet, but we found out about it over 24 hours ago. It's very possible that they've told Gregory they're going to promote him. They've told McKenzie they're going to hire him, but they're waiting to hire a tight end, and then they're just going to announce all three at the same time. I don't know. It's hard to say. I do think Gregory has that inside job, but I don't know what they're going to do at tight end. Maybe they are looking at San Francisco's tight end coach because of what both the Super Bowl teams have fantastic tight ends. So maybe they are looking at one of those tight end coaches and trying to like give them a bump in pay or title or something. But I have nothing. I have no information that leads me to believe that other than just a speculation.
I like wild speculation. Moving on to the Senior Bowl, let's do a little review. Great week for the Patricia, one of his great victories that he's ever secured. Brandon Kerr asks, many national people were very impressed with Patricia's way of coaching. Oh, here we go. Patricia's way of coaching and the results of the Senior Bowl. What impressed you most about the game itself?
So I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was that we finally got to see a little bit more out of Patricia in a relaxed environment. Yeah, did you see the interview with
instead
him?
Instead of him yelling at reporters not sitting up straight.
He hasn't done that in a year, over a year. So, but he was very relaxed. He gave a fantastic interview with Tom Pelissero on the sidelines. It was very funny. He poked fun at himself. He made fun of the situation. He seemed very relaxed. And I think personality standpoint, you could see a little bit more about him as a person as opposed to him as the coach, which is the, you know, the front he puts on for the media most of the time. So I think that helped him go a long way to making him look a little bit more human. As far as the game, what I liked about what he did in the game was he incorporated stuff from the Lions defense, but he also incorporated stuff from other defenses around the NFL. He didn't just put his defense on the field and say, this is what we're running because this is what we are. He gave these players an opportunity to be viewed in the best light possible. If there was a player on his roster that is probably going to fit better in a 4-3 scheme, well, he ran a traditional 4-3 scheme at times, and those players on the field are the ones that would fit into that. Then he played another, like a 3-3-5, and then he did a 3-4, and he showed more players that would fit into like the Lions scheme. I thought that was really cool. I also thought it was cool that he called a timeout at the end of the game to allow the field goal kicker to try one from 50 to, again, get that extra rep on the board. He really did well by the players, in my opinion. And the Bengals, it seems like the same thing was true. It seemed like both coaching staffs did a really nice job of trying to help the players put their best foot forward.
Maybe that could be his... No, I'm not going to do it yet. We'll wait until a few weeks in the regular season. They can make that his new career, coaching the Senior Bowl.
I thought he did a nice job with it. There was complaints from different media, like draft media, that didn't like the way he was running practices. But
was he not giving them access or something?
No. It was more about what he ran. What he ran was an NFL training camp. He ran it the exact same way that he runs mini camp and training camp in the NFL. So he put these players basically through like a training camp.
Okay.
And for the draft analysts, they want one-on-one matchups all day so that they can break down the players. Whereas Patricia wanted them to there was one day they didn't do one-on-ones until an hour into a two-hour practice. And the draft analysts were complaining that they weren't getting information that they wanted. But again, he doesn't care about that. He was doing right by the players. And I think that was what was most important to him. Another thing that I want to point out, sorry, is he switched players around in practices to allow them different opportunities to figure out where they best fit. For example, like I mentioned Josh Uche before.
You're going to mention him again.
Yeah, I'm sure, a few times. He allowed him to get reps at defensive end, at Jack linebacker, and at Will linebacker to allow him to put reps on film of him playing in an off-the-ball Will to show, does he have that skill set? He did this with a lot of different players, so that these players aren't necessarily getting pigeonholed. Again, this is one of these things that I think helped him expand the viewing ability for coaches around the league, and then allowing the players to be viewed in their best light.
All right, next question from Brandon Kerr and Nate B. Who looked good to you, and who would look good in a Lions uniform? It's pretty straight. I watched the game myself, and it's pretty straightforward who looked good. And Josh Uche was one of them, and then Bradley and I was the other one. They both looked fantastic.
Boy, they were dominant, right?
I mean, big old mismatch for them.
And I had 3 sacks and 5 pressures. Uche had 1 sack and 5 pressures.
And they both set up. They were both in the backfield.
They played off each other. They both earned starts. And they both earned starts and played in the Lions 3-3-5. Anai played the down defensive end role, which is the Trey Flowers role / Romeo Okwara role. And Uche played the Devin Kennard role. And both of them looked very good in those roles. There's a case that you could make for both of them to play in both those roles moving forward. With Uche, he is exactly what you want a Jack linebacker to be, and the fact that he can disguise a blitz and cover. He can play off the ball. He can play off the edge. He's not as big as like a traditional Jack linebacker is in this system, which is why I think he will be more of a hybrid player if he were to land with the Lions. Whereas Anai would also be a hybrid player, but he would be more like Romeo Okwara rather than Trey Flowers. Flowers is a down defensive end who can push inside to the 3 technique. Romeo is a down defensive end, occasionally push inside, and occasionally stand up at Jack. And that's what Anai is. Anai can do the things like more like Okwara. Okwara is going into his final year of his contract with Detroit, and the Lions will often draft players who they plan to replace a player who plays a significant role. Okwara plays over 50% of the Lions' snaps. Like, just because Trey Flowers is the starter, Okwara still has a significant role on this defense. And if you think Anai can be Okwara and you can get him for 4 years on the cheap, they might draft him and just say, hey, you're going to be a hybrid player who can play through both of those. And I think the same thing is true with Uche. Where he fits in, he brings an element that the Lions don't have. I would love to see both those guys targeted. But there's a whole bunch of other players that kind of stood out as well. But those were obviously like the top two.
All right, so dig into the other standout. So list off all the other Michigan players you liked that were playing in the game.
From the University of Michigan?
Yeah, it was a dig.
Bredesen was the other one.
Yeah. Ben Bredesen, I thought, had a rough game.
He had good practices. There's a lot of people that think he'll go on day 2 now. I don't think he will. I still think he's a day 3 guy. But he got a lot of good reps in at practice, and his stock has gone up. He played at the same spot that Jonah Jackson from Ohio State did. I thought he had a good a lot of success, a lot of good reports out on him as well. And then the two top centers in Cushenberry and Hennessy were very good. So there were a few offensive line guys that stood out well. A lot of skill players, Courtney Davis from Texas A&M, KJ Hill from Ohio State. These guys were real big standout players that would fit into the line system. Hill more of a traditional slot, whereas Davis is more of a big slot. But both would fill a really important role for the Lions. Going back to the offensive line, Josh Jones from Houston was on the north side. Lions got a real long look at him. He's a guy who may sneak into the first round, but he could all if he's there with the Lions' second pick, I think they'd consider him at least. the defensive line and the linebackers were all very good. Again, most of the good ones came from the north side. I felt like the north side looked a lot stronger in the game.
Well,
I
did win the game.
Yeah, but I mean, when you looked at it, when you looked at the players on paper, it looked like the South had a few more players. And I thought they might have an advantage players wise. Like they had the top quarterback in Herbert, right? And then they had a like Kinlaw, who actually ended up not playing. Like they had some top guys, but the North squad was just very deep. I think what we ended up seeing was, while Jones might sneak into the first, and Herbert will almost assuredly go in the first round.
See.
He did very well, and someone's going to fall in love with him, and someone's going to take him early. Mm-hmm. Even if he has a ceiling, and even if he has his flaws, he still has enough quarterback intangibles where someone's going to grab him early. Like I said, maybe Josh Jones, Kinlaw's a first-round lock, maybe Zach Bond from Wisconsin ends up going in the first, but outside of those, like, four guys... Most of the guys that were at this game were like second and third rounders, and there's a ton of them, like a ton of second and third rounders that were at this game. I was very impressed with that. And then there's going to be a handful of guys that end up sprinkling through 4, 5, and 6 as well. It's a good Senior Bowl class as compared to most years, and I think that's a big advantage for the Lions. There's a lot of guys that they got a lot of really good info on that they're going to have. I wouldn't be surprised if they took Senior Bowl players at like 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th round, if they were all Senior Bowl players, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
All right, Tom Wilkinson asks, coming out of the Senior Bowl, do you have any favorite day 3 targets? When we see fan mock drafts, rounds 4 and beyond are normally just players people have heard of, so would be good to hear any sleepers.
The trick is that most of the guys we're focused on right now are like top 100 guys. So... If I'm targeting a guy that I like, it's probably because I think that guy will go in the top 100, the first 3 rounds. But as we learn more about the juniors and we start slotting them in, I think there's going to be a lot of juniors that end up bumping these guys down. So it's hard to really say, does a guy like Davon Hamilton, nose tackle from Ohio State, he look like a potential top 100 guy, but... Once the juniors start playing, I think he's going to get knocked down. I think he's going to be a day 3 guy. And he's a guy I could see them liking at nose tackle that they could find on day 3. And same thing with, like, the wide receivers. Courtney Davis is probably going on day 3, and I think he could start. I think they could get him in the 4th, 5th round. He could come in and start. KJ Hill will probably go in the top 100, but in a stacked wide receiver class, a guy who's like a slot only... He could get bumped down a lot because of those limitations. So it's kind of hard to tell exactly who would be the third rounders out of this group, but those are a couple guys that I think are kind of on the fringe that could end up getting bumped down.
All right, so we're already talking about the draft, so let's continue with draft questions, starting with Kurt. Thoughts on Okuda at number 3?
Well, he's the popular pick right now, right? Everybody loves Okuda.
Yes, yeah, that's crazy. I think it's a little early for a corner.
You have Bucky Brooks. You have Mel Kiper. You have Todd McShay. You have Daniel Jeremiah. All the heavy hitters are all saying, if the Lions stay at 3, Okuda makes sense. And all the mock drafters that aren't as well known, they're starting to follow suit. You know, almost like... I'd say like 80%+ of the mock drafters are putting Okuda in connection with the Lions. Okuda at 3 with the Lions.
I know that one.
Our mock drafts, our fan mock drafts that we run, they keep picking Okuda.
Yeah, they keep picking him at 3.
Yeah. Slay was at the Super Bowl and at Media Row, and the Lions reporters that are there asked him what he thought of Okuda, and Slay said, I think he's a hell of a player, and I think he is somebody
like the
that
podcast
can...
explicit now.
Well, that's a quote from but he said, I have a relationship with him. It's somebody that I think we've talked before. There's things that I see in his game that I think I could teach him on how to do them better. And he seems more than welcoming to bring him in. Now, we've talked in the past about how Slay needs to be the alpha in the defensive backs room. I don't think Okuda would cringe on that. I think other corners in the past we've talked about, hey, they wouldn't mesh well with Slay. I don't think that would be a problem here at all. So there's a lot of stars aligning that really put Okuda and the Lions together if they stay at three.
All right, so you had the mock draft 3.0 today.
Yesterday, yeah.
Oh, that was yesterday? Oh, that was yesterday. Because I was like, wait, I participated in that. Although I should watch how I say that. I was able to vote on a couple. And so, just like you mentioned, Jeffrey Okuda went in the first round. Josh Uche went at 35. Bradley Anae, so you had both star players from the Senior Bowl being drafted by the team. Antoine Winfield Jr., the safety from Minnesota.
Now, the irony of that was that Risden had written an article about Winfield that morning. So, again, it could be more...
But I don't know. Out of those four names, he was the most... He probably... That's the most well-known out of that group of four.
I agree with that as well. I was just wondering if there was some proximity bias
A little bit of that, too. So, fifth round, Courtney Davis, like you just mentioned, from Texas A&M. Big slot receiver, Matt Pert from UConn, offensive tackle.
Yep.
And the last, sixth round, Darian Daniels, the nose tackle from Nebraska.
What's ironic is that after Okuda and then Winfield is the junior, redshirt sophomore, Uche, Anae, Davis, Pert, and Daniels, all Senior Bowl North squad. They were all guys that the Lions were familiar with. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's why... that's why those players ended up getting selected. It's hard to tell. But I tell you, if you walked away with Okuda, Uche, and I, that wouldn't be bad.
I was going to say, if they so they went for they, meaning the mock drafters, not the Lions. Mm-hmm. But in the hypothetical world, the Lions go four straight rounds of defense. Would you like that first four rounds?
Yeah, I mean, obviously... What we're doing in the mock drafts this time of year...
You're going to answer the wrong question. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is you're just matching players with the team. And I think all of those players would fit in well in the team. So I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it at all.
All right, so Who Knows has a question. That's their name. Is it feasible to find a trade partner in the top 10 and still pick up Okuda and a first-round defensive end talent?
Yeah, I think there is. There's a couple of ways to do it. You'd have to get the right trade people involved. And it's possible that maybe a first-round defensive end slides and you can get him at 35. Or maybe you can trade back in with some of the draft picks that you've acquired. So there is a way to stay in the top 10 and then still get a first-round defensive end sometime either later in the first or early second.
All right, so Scott McAvoy asks, if the Lions were to trade back, what is the farthest back they could go and still get players that can help the team meet Martha's goal?
That's the trick, right? I think the farthest back that they would go is seven.
Panthers' seventh pick.
Yeah, I think if you start going beyond seven... You're starting to get the second best player at some of these positions. And that's just a guess. You know, you never know how things turn out. Maybe it's eight, maybe, you know. But based on the teams that I think would be willing to trade up, I think the Lions are still going to want to stay in the top 10 in order to accomplish that, in order to get a big, impactful player. I don't know if you can drop past seven.
You have a nice little article on this. I think we're creeping towards talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Reese asks, do you think if we were to trade back, Quinn and Patricia would take a lesser offer for current draft picks instead of, say, a combo of current and future draft picks?
It's a good question.
Yeah,
right?
I think that, but it's probably likely.
Yeah, I do think because of the win now mandate and because of the opportunity of them
self-preservation mode.
And they're familiar with a lot more players because of their opportunity to coach in the Senior Bowl, I could see them take a little bit less value in order to keep picks this year.
All right, Between the Numbers and Devin Bateau have very similar questions. What are your preferred top three realistic trade back scenarios? I know this topic will be beaten to death, but I feel like some limited concrete plans A, B, and C will help facilitate productive discussions moving forward rather than a scattershot approach.
So the Chargers are rumored to be
done with
Phil.
Yes. Not taking his texts.
Correct.
They're not returning them.
And so the Chargers are going to be very active in trying to get the quarterback that they want. Now, do they want Tua? Do they want Herbert? It's hard to tell. The Dolphins are the ones that have the most capital. They also have Ryan Fitzpatrick on a one-year deal. So,
four picks in the top 39.
Yeah, five and the seven, six and the seven, top 70. Like, no one's going to be able to match Miami's ammo. I really think Miami could target Tua, who is arguably the best player in this draft, and they could sit him for a year with Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
Yeah, yep, Fitzmagic.
And so I do think Miami will be, they will be trying to play the game with some of these other teams that maybe are falling in love with Herbert, who they think want to, you know, might want a guy who can start immediately. So like the Chargers, for example, they may say, we're going after Herbert. We want to trade up to three to get him, and we got to outbid the Dolphins. Well, the Dolphins then have to play the game as, who are the Chargers targeting? Are they targeting Tua? They're going to have to see who they have on the roster. If the Chargers don't sign somebody in free agency that can at least, you know, toe the line for them for a year, they might say, well, they're not looking for Tua. We'll just stand pat, and we won't get in a bidding war with them. But if they think the Chargers are going after their guy and their guy's Tua, then the Miami might get more involved in what they want to trade. So the Panthers, it's a similar situation. They have Cam Newton under contract, but there's rumors that new ownership this year, new coaching staff this year, and Cam has been injured the last two. They're looking for a split from him as well. Those are probably the three spots that Detroit is looking at, because like you just said, you probably don't want to trade down past seven. But when we're looking at realistic scenarios, the Chargers don't have the draft capital to compete with the Dolphins. Neither do the Panthers. The next team that has the capital to go after a top pick is the Raiders. And that's because they have picks 12 and 19. So they have two high first-round picks. Their Carr is not John Gruden's quarterback. And he has a cap hit of only $5 million if they want to get rid of him. And they could.
They could keep him for a year.
Yep.
And let Tua learn.
Yes.
That's it.
It's yes. Sure. So I could see the Raiders saying, we're starting anew in Las Vegas. Let's offer, we don't have any second round picks. Let's offer 12 and 19 and try and go up to three. Now it gets hard for the Dolphins, right? Because if the Dolphins wanted to get ahead of the Chargers and the Panthers, they just offer 5, 39, 56, two second rounders and that first rounder, and they're set. They're not going to get, nope, the Chargers and the Panthers can't outbid them. But if the Raiders get involved and the Raiders say, here's 12 and 19, well, now the Dolphins don't look as good at 12, 39, and 56. Now they got to change that 39 into maybe pick 26, which is also in the first round. And now the deal starts getting sweeter for the Lions.
Yeah, let's hope that happens.
That's, I think, the ideal situations, is that those four teams are in some sort of trade war. Look, the Colts are going to want to trade up. They're not going to be able to. The Bucs are probably going to want to. They're not going to be able to. The Patriots, the Saints, they're all going to need quarterbacks. I don't think any of them have the firepower. But the Dolphins are going to have to just keep the Chargers and the Panthers at bay and hope the Raiders are comfortable with Derek Carr. And so if we're looking at what are the trade scenarios,
it's like you really listed four, but and loosely listed eight. He wants three.
Yeah, the three that I would say is, I would say Dolphins, Chargers, and Panthers are the ones that are going to trade up, and the Dolphins will just be saying, who's it going to be? You know, who is this franchise trying to target? And, you know, is it not the quarterback that I want? I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that works. But, I mean, I don't know if I can – I still think the Raiders are going to get involved, but I think moving down to 12 is too big of a drop off. Because like we said with what was it, Scott's question? I think if you drop down to 12, you're getting out of that range of getting the elite player. Even though you're going to be getting a couple first rounders, you're not going to get that elite guy. And so I think the Raiders deal probably won't be as tempting as they might let on.
All right, Lions fan Cam and Todd Rudolph ask, what would it take to get Chase Young, and would the Lions pass on him?
No, they wouldn't pass on him. And the best way for them to get Chase Young is that...
Somebody trades with the Redskins.
Yep, exactly. Somebody says, hey, I want Herbert, and let's say the Chargers they're working with the Lions, and then the Panthers trade up with the Dolphins. That would be that would be how Chase drops to the Lions at 3, and I think the Lions would just take him and walk. I think they'd
just Washington.
With Washington, Sorry. But yes, if you trade up to 2 with Washington and Chase Young falls into the Lions' lap, I think the Lions just take him and walk away and say, hey, we got the best player in the draft.
All right, Michael Johnson asks, assuming medicals check out with Tua, is it crazy to think the Lions could trade down to 5 with Miami, then trade down again and still pick in the top 10 to 15 if demand for Herbert and or Love spikes?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
It's probably not likely, but it's not crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you hit on the head. It's possible, but that would mean the Lions would be the only team trading, right?
Yeah.
That would mean Washington says no, the Lions trade to 5, and then the Panthers are like, I still got to get ahead of the Chargers, and so I'll trade up to 5. That would be the only way. You would need the Lions to make deals with Miami and the Panthers in order to make that happen.
All right, leather, brass, and mahogany. I'd like Joe Kania's take on whether we should trade down or not and why. Or, since it is Joe, why trading down won't be enough to make us a competitive team next year. Well, should we trade down or not? I think we should trade down. I'm a trade down fan. This is a tough one because I don't know exactly where I sit yet. Because I'm not totally not sold on not taking on taking on. I'm not sold on not taking Tua.
Passing on Tua.
Yeah, I don't okay. like. Maybe if he's available, maybe the Lions should take him. Maybe they should trade down. Maybe they should. Well, the only. It's either. For me, it's not a CUDA. It's draft Chase Young, draft Tua, or trade back. Those, I think, to me, those are like the three options.
You don't. Would you take your boy Derrick Brown?
Well, it's slowly not looking that way now. You know, like that's who I'd want, but now that. Now I'm being swayed by a lot of. Not by you mm-hmm. as much. You've talked about it a little bit. But I'm just being swayed by everything I'm reading, and sadly, I shouldn't let my eyes deceive me because I'm often right. You know, I'm not often right, but I'm right enough on players that are playing in the interior like that, especially quick ones. You know, so I'm for them trading down. And is that enough to keep them from being competitive? Is that enough to still keep them? Is that not enough to still keep them from being competitive? Yeah, yeah, because we talk about the holes of this team. And we're sometimes confused to what the holes are, but we know there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's holes at linebacker. There's holes at depth on the defensive line. There's holes at cornerback. There's holes on the offensive line. There's holes at wide receiver. Like, and there's holes at a healthy running back or a healthy quarterback. Like, trading back and going from 1 pick to 2, you know, that's not going to solve all our problems.
Okay.
That was it.
Just one thing I'd add.
Yeah, sure.
If the Lions stay at 3, I can see them taking Derrick Brown.
Okay.
Just if that helps ease your...
If they take him, they take him. But
if I was making a mock draft and the Lions had to stay at 3, I would be slotting Derrick Brown at 3.
Because if... I think, to me, it all hinges on what the Tua's perceived health is. Because mm-hmm. then it is a pretty clear 1-2-3 if he's healthy.
For me... It comes down to win now. Tua doesn't help you win now.
No, I understand the.
That's
decree.
Why I think they wouldn't take him. That's
no, I, yeah. no. Okay, yeah, yeah. Yes, I agree with that. I know that's what's going to happen because yeah. and then it's also like he's going to be a great pro. You know, it's so sad. It's just because that's just what's going to happen.
He would be great in Bevel's system.
Yeah, so
he would be.
But yeah, I don't see him taking Derek Brown, and I think their three moves are draft Tua, draft Chase Young, or trade back.
Okay. Big down.
MSU Lions fan.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Oh, wait.
You're right. MSU Lions fan.
Which positions do you think the Lions should address in free agency? The nose tackle, three technique, right guard, free safety, cornerback, two, running back. How would that play into draft strategy?
So I included this in the draft section because I wanted to use this as an opportunity to talk about their approach to the draft in general. Every one of these positions that he named, they're probably going to sign a guy in free agency that could potentially fill this role. Right, so I don't think that their basic game plan and their approach to the offseason is, I want to go into the draft without anybody that I need to rely on to start. And while the first rounder will almost assuredly start,
you better,
and he will.
I guess except for Tua, if I'm answering my questions. Yeah.
But they're going to want to fill a guy who is a capable starter, who then, even if you draft a rookie who ends up winning the job, you still have a capable backup at every one of those positions. So I think they're going to address all of these positions in free agency. And if they don't address a corner, well, then you can move Okuda up the board because that's probably the guy they're looking at. Move. You know what I mean? So
they can still get him at five. They can still get him at six. They can still get him at seven.
Yeah.
Potentially. Seven's maybe getting a little too deep. But
potentially, though, it's there. So which positions will they address in free agency? They're going to address all of them. They're going to – I would not
– Even running back? You think they would?
No. I've said before, I think that if they're going to address a running back, it's going to be like in the third wave of free agency
for a
reliable veteran who hasn't done a whole lot.
And
he's going to be RB4 behind Ty Johnson. I don't think they're going – and that would be it's going to be someone they don't pay more than $1.5 million for.
All right, Big Dom asks, the Lions are obviously not going quarterback three. Might they try their hands at a developmental prospect in the later rounds or continue forward with Driscoll and Blau? No doubt Stafford is the immediate future on my end.
So the guy who's most like Stafford and could draft and put into this system as a backup would be Anthony Gordon from Washington State.
Mike Leach guy.
Yep, and he was on the North squad with the Lions. And I actually think that they requested him. I think when it came down to it, when it comes to quarterbacks, I think they consult the coaching staffs and say, which quarterback do you want? And I think the Bengals wanted to get a look at Herbert. And I think the Lions then got the second best quarterback.
Yeah, no, and that's
Love,
fair.
Right?
I think that's the right thing to
say,
right?
And I think the Lions said, Gordon's a guy we want to get a better look at. Because he's a guy who could fit our system. The big arm, can go downfield, etc. Can throw at unique arm angles. And so if they were going to draft a guy, that's the guy I'd be looking at. But the thing is I don't necessarily think they're going to draft one. I think they might re-sign Driscoll and they're happy with Blau. Look, they traded.
I think that's what I feel. Yeah, looking at this list too. I don't.
They traded.
Please don't bring in Shea or Brian
Lewerke. No. Shea looked terrible.
Bring either of those guys.
The only reason that Shea got put on the North squad was because all the Michigan players got put on the North squad,
and they try and keep all those players together. Yeah.
But like with Oklahoma. Like, we got Neville Gallimore on the north side with the Lions, but then the quarterback went to the south side.
Because they were drafting the QBs.
Because, yeah, they wanted to put a good quarterback with the Bengals, and I don't think the Lions are interested in Hurts at all. So, yeah, I don't think they would go after a guy, but if they would, Gordon is the name to know.
All right, Lois Beanie asks, what are the chances of us drafting Simmons at three?
I think it's an outside-the-box pick because you don't typically draft off the ball guys at three. If they trade back, I think he's more appealing. And then I'm going to reference the article I wrote on him.
It's the more I look at him and the more I think about it, it's like it's this outside the box move, which doesn't seem right at this time, but it's probably the future of football or whatever.
Yeah,
because traditionally, you don't draft guys like this that high.
If they trade back to five.
Well, then it's
now you're talking.
Mathis asks, what's a bigger need on our interior defensive line, a nose tackle or a 3-5 technique? I would say it's a nose tackle.
Well, this is a great question, and nose tackle is the more pivotal role in this scheme. And if you're telling me you don't believe in Snacks or you think Snacks is going to retire, then nose tackle probably is a more pivotal role. But if you think Snacks is going to be okay and be able to bounce back and be a serviceable nose tackle, the 3-technique, 5-technique is someone that can make a bigger impact. So I think that's the big hole right now with Snacks on the roster. But if you're not confident in Snacks, then, yeah, nose tackle is going to be a bigger need. Now, keep in mind, nose tackle is a guy you can get in the fourth round, whereas the 3-technique guy, you're probably going to want to get earlier.
Sean's question is, why is Derek Brown worth the number 3 overall pick? He's really good, but in my opinion, more of a 5-10 pick. You need to be a rare player to go top 3 if you're defensive tackle.
Yeah, I get that, and that's kind of what we were talking about, where we said he might not go at 3. The rare thing that he's missing is he's not an elite pass rusher. He's good at it, and he fits the Lions system. But I think people would be more comfortable. I think the Lions would be more comfortable taking him in that 5-10 range. He keeps getting comps to Ndamukong Suh, and I just don't see it. I don't think he's at that level. I think he's a good player. But the difference between 3 and 5, pick 3 and pick 5, is pretty considerable. And so I don't know. I don't know if he's worth 3. I just think he's in the mix, that's for sure.
Dave asks, any day two or 3 interior offensive linemen you like outside of the Michigan players?
I think we kind of touched on them, like Jonah Jackson from OSU. Maybe Ben Bartsch from St. John's falls to day 3.
St. John's.
He's one of these small school guys, left tackles, who could be a tackle or a guard at the next level. Those were the big ones. Pert was a guy I put in the fan mock draft, and the fans took him. He's a guy who I think in a year or two could start at right. He could start at right tackle. Oh, I apologize.
Well, you have him as a guard too.
Yeah, I think he could be. I think he could be a right tackle, right guard. He's kind of like Tyrell Crosby in that way, where there's a developmental ceiling, plus I think he could start at one of those two spots down the road.
All right, Michael Johnson asks, tell me all the ways that Curtis Weaver or Ezra Cleveland could be Lions. Both are top 100 guys for him.
Yeah, well, they're both top 100 guys for me. Michael Johnson, I think, is a Boise State fan, because those are both Boise State guys. Weaver, I'm
a fan,
I think,
of Boise State as well.
Weaver is a guy who I've said I think is very underrated right now. I have him higher than most analysts do. I think he's like my defensive end 4 or 5 right now. He's one of my top edge guys, and I think he's a guy that the Lions will like a lot. There's a lot of offensive tackles, but I think a lot of them are going to go early, which means Ezra could be there in the third round maybe. But I think both guys probably end up going on day 2 when it's all said and done. So if you're the Lions and you stay at 3 and you don't trade down and you only have a second and a third and you want both those guys, well, that's what you need. You need to use your day 2 picks on them.
All right, we're going to talk real quickly about free agency because we're quickly running.
Just hit some of the ones that you think are easy, and we'll save some of the. Some of them are kind of complicated, but just pick and choose what you want here.
All right. And I Never Slice asked, do you think the Lions should bring back Amendola?
Yeah, but the rumors are he wants to play with Tom Brady again. And so if Brady ends up back in New England, he might end up back in New England with him, which means the Lions would have a more obvious hole in the slot.
Jake Baltema asks, likelihood the Lions will pony up the money for Chris Jones. I feel like no one's talking about him realistically to the Lions, and he fits the scheme perfect and could have a better impact than Snacks did.
The bottom line is, do you think the Lions are going to hand out another Trey Flowers-like contract? Because that's what it's going to take to get him. I don't know if they're willing to do that. I understand why you would want him to do that, because he's worth it. He's worth every penny of that. I just don't know if they'd be willing to fork over that kind of money.
All right. Daily Innovation asks, although Washington may take Chase Young, could you see a scenario where they help the Lions by releasing Ryan Kerrigan and the Lions picking him up to play the jack position?
That's an interesting scenario, because it's possible that they're switching defenses with Ron Rivera there now. And it's possible Kerrigan being the oldest of all of their edge rushers, because we've talked about this in the past, they spent a lot of capital on edge rushers. And then if they add Young to that mix, Kerrigan could be the odd man out. He'd cost some money, and you'd be asking him to be a sub, you know, share a role, but I could see it. I just, I'm not confident that, that's what would happen, but I could see it.
James Schobert asks, could you break down why Sam Martin is revered as an average, below average punter? The Staps put him as a top 10 punter in the league with yards per punt and number of punts within the 20. Thanks.
So his, just going off last season stats, like I think his career stats have him higher, but just off of last season, he was 17th in the NFL in his punt average. Right, which is average. And then while in punts inside the 20, he was 6th overall, which is very good. He actually
punt a lot, though.
Well,
what's the percentage?
That's the trick.
Inside the 20 percentage.
That's the trick is, while he had 31 land inside the 20, he also had 7 go into the end zone.
That's just no good.
Which was the most in the NFL. Yeah,
no good.
So that's where it gets tricky. While he does have the 6 most punts that land inside the 20, he also has the most that land inside the end zone. So that's where it gets tricky with Sam
Martin.
Doesn't
have the greatest accuracy.
It's been off since the conch shell incident.
And he has issues with the big punting in the big moments. He has the unforgivable punt against Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some issues with Sam Martin.
I think he has the potential to be there, but I don't think the Lions would have made the moves that they made if they thought he was going to achieve those lofty expectations.
Do you want to hit any of these other ones? We are just about out of time. I don't see anything that's very short.
Yeah, they're a lot longer, I think, right?
Yeah. What about Samson 2 on Twitch? If the Lions decided to give Calvin his money back, would there be cap ramifications? It seems like something would have to happen otherwise. Teams could pay low for a guy while he plays and in turn just cut him a fat check after retiring off the books.
The trick is that agents and players don't trust NFL teams.
You'd have to have some written agreement.
Yeah, and I think that would be the sticking point is I don't think you could pull that off in the NFL because I don't think you'd be able to pay him until he's officially retired. And so is there an NFL player that would be trusting an NFL team to say, hey, 3 years from now, can you give me some big money? I don't think there's enough.
It seems it's what they did with Barry. Now that he's a happy ambassador for the team, that eventually it's like, all right, well, you know, we'll give you your money back, but you got to...
That was 20 years later.
They should be able to let bygones be bygones.
Yes, and there's a path to repairing a relationship like that. But as a strategy, though, I don't think that strategy works because there's not enough trust.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fair. That's it.
Yeah, so we, you know,
no, we got plenty more.
We're still, again, we're in that iTunes bubble where they're waiting for the updates. I think so. We're still stuck at those 261 reviews,
yep.
Which we, you know, that's just the way it's going to happen. And I know this is the time of year when there's not
less people are paying attention
to the team
Lions news.
Sure, although we try and bring it every week with this draft stuff as best we can. We have seen our Patreon numbers go up, which is nice.
Yeah, very nice. Very appreciative.
The contributions are coming in, which is incredibly helpful. And for those who are in the VIP and Insider, I'm planning on doing another board update this weekend. I have most of it done. And I took a request from Brandon Kerr, where I've taken every player on the roster from last season and looked at their PFF score. So I have all of their snap counts. I have their PFF score. I have their salary and where their salary ranks. So you're going to be able to look at this player was scored at this level on PFF scale. And according to league salary, he makes this much. And do those numbers mesh? Or is this player overpaid?
Overpaid or underpaid?
And should they be cut? So for example, if you can pull my board up here for a second, I'll give you a quick example. It says PFF to your right there. Matthew Stafford is making the 12th most money of a quarterback, and his PFF rank was 8. So those line up. They're pretty close. Mm-hmm. They're only a difference of like 4. But then if you go down to a guy like Rick Wagner,
Oh, that's a big name.
Rick Wagner is making...
11-9.
But his PFF grade was 61.
Oh my goodness!
Of all tackles, but
that's
his
a backup tackle.
But that's all tackles, right tackles, left tackles. He's essentially the bottom of the right tackle, but he's getting paid as the fourth highest right tackle, but he's grading out as the 31st best right tackle. And he's getting paid as the 17th highest tackle in the league, yet he's grading out as the 61st. So there's a big discrepancy there in how these two line up. So I'm going to include that. I did it for every player that was on the roster last year and the guys that the futures deals, the guys that they have. And so I'm going to be able to have a whole big comparison for the insider and VIP guys. And you're going to get a chance to look at where might a player be vulnerable? Who's a guy who's making more money than what he's earning on the field? You know, how is he what he's grading out? And hopefully that'll, you know, help us get a better understanding of where value is on the roster.
Fascinating.
Yep. I can't publish these numbers, so I can't do this for Lions Wire,
sure,
but I can do it for the Patreon subscribers.
All right, very cool. All right, so have all the Patreon subscribers check that out. And that's it for us this week. Who are you rooting for on Sunday?
49ers.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
Good.
I've been a Chiefs fan since I was a kid. Derek Thomas and Christian Okoye.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. So until after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Let's go Lions.